It's 7 minutes past 10. I'm Cara Lawrence. The Night Before Christmas is a program set for Sunday at 3 o'clock in Chenery Auditorium. It's part of the Family Discovery Series from the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra. And I'm thrilled to have assistant conductor Daniel Breyer in the studio here again. Nice to have you here, Daniel.
Thanks for having me.
As well, we have Ben Zillman, who is stage directing this piece. Thank you so much for coming.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having us.
This is a significant new work. It's a world premiere. All the music is brand new. The story we do know has a great inspiration. Why don't you take it away, Daniel and Ben, and share the story of how this got started?
Well, this got started a few years back when we had How the Grinch Stole Christmas for one of our family discovery concerts. And it was a wonderful time because we had a full house and people just loved coming. And around this time of year, families are always looking for fun things to do. And so we started thinking about what is another really great, you know, timeless tale that could be brought to life on the stage. And so we started thinking about The Night Before Christmas. And that's the first idea. How that came about. We already knew of a composer. Daniel Capoletti has worked with us many times in arranging things that when we need it, or if a guest artist comes through and they need something altered, he's really fast and he can do that. He teaches composition at the Brussels Conservatory in Belgium.
Oh, and so far away.
Yeah, so far away. And so we got him on Skype and we introduced the idea to him and he was very amenable to that. And that's when we had to start thinking, okay, how do we make this come alive with actors and a script, and how do we get that all, the story told? And that's where we brought Ben Zillman right into the picture.
Well, and we've had just a wonderful time developing this piece. It is, as you said, an original work, and it's really quite wonderful because it's I think of it as a hybrid between a musical theater piece and a concert. It's really quite wonderful. And we've constructed a wonderful storyline. Adam Pazin wrote the script. And it's a script that we can all relate to. It revolves around a family that's just become so busy, they really don't have time to pay attention to the true meaning of the season.
Oh, yeah.
And there are some really magical things that happen during the course of the play. And, of course, by the end of the play, people all, I think, look at life a little bit differently.
The original story comes from a poem, a rhyming poem. But obviously, it only takes a few minutes to recite the poem. And this is a full hour piece, would
yes,
you say?
Yes, it'll be the whole concert. All of our family discoveries, we try to make them around 55, maximum 65 minutes. And because it just seems to be the ideal time for families to be in a hall.
It's some with very young children.
Yes, exactly.
2, 3 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so what's really interesting for the process of putting this all together was coming up with the scenario and how do we capture all of these ideas. So, I mean, Ben and I think we had that idea very early on, mm-hmm. that let's do something where we capture the busyness of the season and then, you know, bring the listeners in at that point and then see what we can do. And it was really fun to work with Adam as he's writing the script and tweaking it and sharing all of our feedback and structuring it so that it flows just right and all of those types of things.
One of the things that I have enjoyed the most about creating this project is just the total lack of ego. Everyone involved was just willing to say, okay, what can I do to make it better? How can I modify my thought process to make this project even better and more impactful and more enjoyable? And Adam originally came up with some incredible ideas for the narrative. And we worked back and forth and worked back and forth and said, well, you know, if we were producing this at Radio City Music Hall, it would be great.
Right.
But here in Kalamazoo, we probably will have to scale back what we're doing. But right. He came up with some incredible ways of holding on to the magic. And so that's what we're doing.
I'd like to hear more about Adam Adam's background and some achievements he's been involved with? Do you know much about his history as a writer?
Well, Adam earned his PhD in playwriting from Western.
Wow.
And he's out in Los Angeles now pursuing his career in screenwriting. And he's won several awards. One of his pieces was performed at the Kennedy Center. He's very, very accomplished. He's also a performer. And so we feel very, very fortunate that he was available to write not only the book, but the lyrics as well.
And again, that's Adam Payson,
yes.
Western Michigan University grad. I'm glad yes. you went close to home for that. I mean, you've gone to Brussels.
Right.
Yes. But also to Western Michigan University. I'd like to hear more about Daniel Cappelletti. It sounds like he's one of those composers akin to maybe a film composer who can produce material as needed for specific situations.
Yes, he's very much, I think that might be a great way to describe him. He has the ability to capture an idea or a feeling and put it into sound, but it doesn't take him very long to do it. He can do it instantly, which is what's incredible about his work.
Kind of useful.
Yeah. And what is also, to me, very incredible is how flexible stylistically he is. So he's trained in a very rigorous European system, and he has written all different kinds of music. Some of his concert contemporary music is very, very concert contemporary music, and it's not at all like what you'll hear today or on Sunday, because it's a very, what he captured on Sunday is this, it's almost cinematic. And it's very magical all the time. It's just magical. And he wrote one song called Write a Note, and that's we launch right into that right after the overture. And it's a very difficult song for the orchestra to play and the actors to sing, because it's very mixed meter, and it sounds exactly like what the busyness of the season is.
Oh.
And then by the end, he's just in this magical world. And so it's really incredible what he can do and how fast he can do it.
Right.
Yeah. And he...
And how many styles he has to draw upon.
Right. Yeah. He can draw from any, just about every style there is.
I remember when we first started working on the project, the very first piece of music that we received to listen to was the overture.
Yes.
And that was the thing that struck me, how he captured the magic and the beauty and the sentiment
yes.
of Christmas in sound.
Right.
It really was pretty amazing.
And what's incredible to me is it's not at all kitsch or cliched.
Sleigh bells.
Right. And what is fascinating, because he has sleigh bells in there.
Oh.
And he has the celeste, and he has all of the bells. And there's Tiny Toy Town is one song where Santa comes and they're flying around. And You have all of those sounds that you think of in your ear as being Christmas sounds, but the way he puts it together, it does not sound at all cliched.
Like hitting you over the head.
Yes,
with
exactly.
Exactly. No, it's very smart, very sophisticated. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I love about it, too, is that the story is so relatable. Parents will certainly be able to relate to the
For
hectic
sure. yes.
nature of
yeah.
the season.
Yeah.
And then children, of course, will relate to the magic as well.
Let me remind listeners again that this concert is a Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra Family Discovery Series concert. There are very special ticket prices
yes.
for available for all. You simply need to have a look at the website, kalamazoosymphony.com, and learn more about this world premiere piece, which reminds me to ask, is this just one time only and then you put it on the shelf, or is it possible this might have a longer life?
Well, we hope for sure that it has a longer life. One of the interesting parts of the project is that we've asked him to create the full orchestra version and also a small chamber orchestra version so that we can take that out into communities far and wide, or maybe other orchestras will want to play the work as well. But we hope to be able to bring this one back too, because the story is so great, the music is so great, and hopefully it can be something we bring back periodically.
That certainly strikes me as one of the great benefits of commissioning a work.
Yes.
And creating something ground up for your own group, it becomes not only yours to lend, but it's yours as an image builder and a calling card to the community.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think it lends an air of excitement to the holiday season and what's being done in Kalamazoo. To think that, you know, you can attend something and hear something that's never been heard before or seen before. And the support in the community has been pretty astounding from what I understand. It's selling very well and people are really looking forward to seeing it.
Yes, it seems to be resonating with the public.
Well, the story is based on The Night Before Christmas. We've talked a little about the playwright, Adam Payson, and composer Daniel Cappelletti. Ben, as director, you hired a cast, brought on a group of actors. Can you talk a little about what we'll see and who will be interacting on stage?
We have a wonderful cast. I'm so excited to be working with these talented people. The story revolves around the Snow family, and Barbara Snow is being played by Britton Shoemaker, and Greg Snow is being played by J. Curtis Oopman, and the grandfather is being played by Lou Price. And then we have an adorable little girl that's playing Lucy Snow. Her name is Carly Koch. And they are so talented. And they've been so excited about working on this new material. You know, when you do a musical theater piece that's been around for years and you're familiar with the music, it doesn't take quite as much energy or concentration to learn the music because you have some point of reference. But when it's a brand new piece, it really does challenge you in very, very specific ways. And they have risen to the challenge. They're just wonderful. And the script that Adam has written is just delightful. It's funny.
That's important.
It's so important.
Everyone likes a good laugh.
Well, you know, and the humor is so in keeping. It's gentle and sweet, and it moves right along. And at the heart of it all, there's just a wonderful message for us all to take away.
You were the director of Oklahoma.
Yes.
In the fall, and Britton Shoemaker was one of the voices of that cast.
Yes, she played Lori in Oklahoma, yeah. And as a matter of fact, Jay Oopman played Judd Fry. Okay. So I've been working with these folks for 5 months now. It's been just great. You know, I feel like I'm going to have to buy them Christmas presents.
I mean, I know you as one of the people who really understands comedy from the ground up and can put the Zillman touch on a lot of things.
Thank you.
Have you been able to see this in action, having him work with actors yet?
Yes. Well, last night we had a great rehearsal. We got to work together with coaching the music and getting the acting and all of that. We also did a family discovery maybe 2 years ago.
Yes.
Peter versus the Wolf, which was also a very, very fun. And it was kind of funny too. So I've seen that touch. And so I love working with Ben. I think it's just it's a wonderful privilege for me to do that. So,
well, I would say the same thing. You know, one of the things that I've enjoyed so much, this is my third outing with the symphony, and it's just this collaborative nature. It's really a wonderful, wonderful experience, and Daniel is so talented, and we're so fortunate to have him in our community.
Where is the symphony during the story?
They are right on stage. They're another character in the play. And our lighting designer, Kristen Chesick, was the managing director of the Civic for many years, and now she's the executive director of the Arts Council of Greater Kalamazoo. But what a lot of people don't know is that she is an extremely talented lighting designer. And so she and I have been working very closely as far as, you know, determining when the focus is on the cast, when the focus shifts to the orchestra. And she's got some really wonderful designs and ideas up her sleeve.
Do you wear a costume, Daniel?
No, I don't wear a costume this time. Maybe one of these times, we'll see.
That would be great.
But there's sometimes, not in this particular show, but there's sometimes where I'll do these types of things. and I'll have a little role like handing props to an actor or saying a few lines. And so I kind of enjoy doing that when it's called upon, but not on Sunday.
We'll have to think about that unless, for the future, though.
Yes, yeah.
Again, it's Sunday at 3 o'clock. The venue is Chenery Auditorium, downtown Kalamazoo, on Vine and South Westnage. It's one of the KSO's favorite venues, I know.
Oh, yes.
When you have a regular concert, say at Chenery, the conductor has a moment to prepare mentally before raising the baton and starting a performance. This, however, is all about timing. Is that something that you actually have to practice, being a part of the flow of the story?
Yes, that is something I have to practice. With all of our family discovery concerts, at least since I've been here, there's two important things. One is that the orchestra is an important part because we want this to be able to capture young people's imagination and to show them what a great thing an orchestra is. And the second thing is we really always want there to be a great storyline. And we want there to be something that really captures their imagination and just sweeps them into something where they forget where they are and they're just captured into the story. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes that relates to a composer. Sometimes that's a classic story, like what we are doing. But those are the two things that we really want to happen in our family discovery concerts, because we really want to capture children's imagination. And so that means that all of the family discovery concerts that I do, and then sometimes we do concerts for school children that are similar to this, it's very difficult because it's not just me and the orchestra on the stage playing music. There's other roles for us to play.
Yeah.
And so sometimes it can be very difficult because you have to be right on top of a whole different system of cues. So you've got music, and then you have to know when the orchestra needs to be louder, when they need to be softer. And often that's written in, but then you have to make sure that it actually happens in the space. And sometimes we have to line up musical events to happen specifically around a certain line that an actor is saying. So sometimes with these types of productions, the music is reflecting something that happens in the staging or in the drama, and you have to hold and hold and hold and wait until you hear that line and then you go right away and things like that. So I enjoy the challenge. I think it's a lot of fun. It can be very exhilarating.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then when you're done, you're very tired. But
one of the nice things is that in addition to being an extremely talented conductor, Daniel also has a background in musical theater. So he understands those Ooh. Dynamics. And it's in a production like this that is absolutely invaluable. In fact, during the rehearsal last night, I think the actors were quite surprised at how in tune he was with their performances. He really was listening and working with and guiding, and that is an amazing skill set.
You said you've been saying actors, but I was wondering if they break into song at all during the
yes.
show.
Yes. Yes, actually they do. There are four songs in the show. And I always refer to them as acting. I was listening to a musical theater performer interviewed a couple of weeks ago, and they were saying to her, well, which comes first? Is it the dance or the singing or the acting? And she said, it's the acting. It's always the acting. Because without the acting, singing is just a bunch of noise, and dancing is just a bunch of movement. It has to start with the acting. So you're right. I always refer to them as actors. They're singing actors.
But they're the triple threat kind of
they sure
actors.
Are. They are. Yes, they are. Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm starting to get a real image of what's going to happen on Sunday, although there'll be a lot of surprises since those of us who know the poem have to realize this goes a lot further.
Well, the whole script has been constructed as a framework for the telling of the poem, and it is told in such
Yes.
A clever and terrific way that audiences are just going to be really, really pleased.
And we can't give it away quite yet.
No. You'll want to come and see and hear for yourself.
We should probably mention that the production has also been assisted by choreographer Kathy Williams, costumes from Lewis Irwin, Kristen Chesick on lighting, Stacy Bartell, scenic designer, properties master. And Marie Kerstetter, vocal coach.
Yes, and Marie has been working closely with Daniel and obviously with the actors as well to kind of make sure that they were prepared. And she's been working with Daniel to kind of let him know where they're at and where they may need some assistance.
Yeah, and she's done a wonderful job. And I think one of the interesting things about at least the singing portions is you don't really have the opportunity to listen to it and listen to maybe two or three different ways that it's been done. And all of our actors have done a very good job of really learning it. It's so difficult to learn something without having anything to grasp onto with your ear.
Well, from henceforth, they get to have the term originator of the
role. Yes, that's right. You know, so often when you do a classic piece, whether it's Oklahoma or The Sound of Music or Wicked or whatever it might be, you do have that point of reference. You have that interpretation that you can listen to and say, oh, that's kind of what that could look like or sound like. And with this, as Daniel was saying, you're originating all of it.
Specially priced tickets are available through the Kalamazoo Symphony website. That's kalamazoosymphony.com or kalamazoosymphony.org. I understand you can type in any term. And we will probably close here with a highlight that features violin. I wonder if you could set this up.
Yes. Well, each year, annually, for many, many decades, the Kalamazoo Symphony has hosted a youth soloist competition. And each year, local high schoolers compete for the opportunity to play with the orchestra. It's a really great opportunity for a young player to have the opportunity to play with professional musicians. And the experience is something that you can't replicate and is something very important. And we are really excited this year. Leah Jin, she's a junior at Portage.
She's still just a junior?
Yes.
She is
so remarkable.
2 years ago, and
yes.
I thought she must be a senior because her playing was so amazing.
She's going to play some Sarasate for us. And one of the things that I love about Leah is that she is very active in many different roles in the community. One of the roles, I see her every Wednesday, she helps out at Kalamazoo Symphony's Kids in Tune. And it's just always a joy to have her there. So she's really giving of herself, even at an early age, and using her music to help others. And she really played a wonderful audition. And so we're really excited to have her play Sarasate's Introduction in Tarantella.
Is this an easy piece?
This is a very difficult piece.
I know this
because I'm a violinist myself. And it's a very difficult piece. And the way she plays it at the age that she is quite remarkable. So it's kind of like our appetizer for our wonderful story. And or you can also think of it as our gift. It could be our gift to the audience, a very special opportunity. One of the interesting things about Leah is that she started the violin after coming to a family discovery concert and going to one of the instrument petting zoos.
You've heard her tell this story?
I've heard others tell me of her story. It's really remarkable.
Yeah.
And she, if you come at 2 o'clock, we have the instrument petting zoo. And at 2 o'clock, that gives you the opportunity to explore all different instruments. And one of the things that I love about that is as a violin teacher, I have many students that came to me from petting zoos from all in different parts of the state. And it's really interesting because once you get an instrument in your hand, it really captures your imagination as a young child. And in the opportunity not only to have one instrument, but try a whole bunch of them is a really great opportunity. And it's a very popular event, so I would encourage those who want to take advantage of it to come early. That starts at 2 o'clock. And then at 2:40, we will have a special Meet the Conductor time, which is always a lot of fun. This time, it's going to be a meet the conductor and the composer. And I'll have the composer there. Wow. Ben and I did one recently a couple years back. It's always a lot of fun. The kids have the greatest questions to ask. They have so many.
Mr. Capoletti is flying in from Belgium.
He is flying in today, I believe.
Wow. Monsieur Capoletti.
Yes.
Coming to Kalamazoo for the premiere of The Night Before Christmas, which is a brand new production from the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra. Ben and Dan, it's been really, really fun talking about it. Have we thought of everything to talk about?
I think we've covered everything.
I think so. It's going to be just a wonderfully magical time, and we look forward to seeing everyone there.
And I want to see father and holding the hand of his child on his way out of the auditorium and hearing the child say, "Dad, I really, really want to play an instrument." And have it be the beginning of a wonderful, wonderful experience.
Yes, and what makes us really excited is that it happens every year. There's always at least one that really makes our days.
The concert is Sunday at 3 o'clock in Chenery Auditorium. Look for tickets and more information at KalamazooSymphony.com. And here's an amuse-bouche. We'll hear the Sarasate piece from Naxos Recording. Thank you.